Welcome to the Young Turks and that very like death row record sound alike we just heard. Good God.
Dun, dun, royalty dun, dun, dun. Free.
Yeah, royalty free. And they're not technically sound alikes because that's even illegal. Welcome to the second hour, you crazy idiots who stuck around for this. It's Brett Ehrlich, Kim Horcher, Hannah Cranston. Woo. Welcome, ladies. How do you feel?
Good.
Feeling good. This is my first time with Kim on the second
hour. We've never done this show together.
Really? I know.
What are your thoughts going in? You ready for it?
I think her and I are just going to cuddle most of the time. Are you going to, do you have stuff to say as well?
Or? I am bad at both emotional and physical intimacy.
Okay.
So it's just going to be me alone here trying to, you know, joke through the awkward moments like this one right now. Mm. All right. Well, we have a lot to get to. I would like to first do our, I'm going to reload this. And see what we have. We've got TY. Oh, I have some announcements to make that John handed me before he left. There will be a post game after the show, so stick around for that. We don't know what we're talking about yet, but it might come up over the course.
Yeah. Last time we had a fun post game. I got a lot of tweets about how fun our post game was.
We talked about pee.
We talked about pee.
We talked
the
about
vegetable or the urine.
Urine.
Yeah, we talked a lot about urine. So you're in for a treat.
Yep. And Hannah got pretty pissed off at me at the last one. And so did Francis, probably. We talked about his weird race, but we'll come up with like...
Wait.
Francis did a weird pee race when he was... This is why you need to subscribe.
Francis and I did a Nerd Alert video where he admitted to peeing in the shower constantly.
Yeah, and we talked
about
that.
Francis admitted... Well, I don't want to
tell
you. Yeah, you guys
got
to watch it in the members' content. Sorry.
And tweet us at hashtag TYT Live if you have any ideas of what we should talk about in the post game. Also, stay tuned tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, because there's going to be a live Old School with Benjamin Mankiewicz and Michael Schur. Tune in for that. This episode will be available for members to watch tomorrow at tytnetwork.com under member content. Become a member at tytnetwork.com/join. See, we still have announcements to make after hitting our $2 million quota. So thank all the people who donated to that. So we still will be talking to you throughout the course of our shows. All right, so, and also tweet at us at hashtag TYT Live, and then we'll mention that after the break. Let's get into it, shall we? Okay, the Portland May Day protests and marches turned into a fiery riot. There were thousands of people on the streets, not just in Portland, but all over the world, from Paris to the Philippines. And during the Portland protests, which started out peaceful, there were incidents where people in the mob, it turned out to be, were throwing things like full soda cans at police officers. Here's video of that. All right, no, not that. We'll get rid of this and we'll come back. That is the wrong video, I'm sorry. But I think that the cheeky Portlanders were inspired by that Kylie Jenner, Kendall Jenner.
Kendall.
That Kendall Jenner video to create an actually very serious scene of violence. And we do have video of that. This is not a joke. This is actually a video as posted by Real. So that's how it turned out. For 90 minutes, it was a peaceful march, and then there were different groups that started turning violent. People were arrested, ages everywhere from 44 to 14, and they did damage to places like two courthouses, City Hall, Target, Brooks Brothers, and a J. Crew, which really hurt me because I shop there all the time. But in addition, there were anarchist student union said that they might join and do their thing. And so no one really from that group has been identified as someone being a part of the riot, but they're still on the lookout for additional people who may have participated. That said, That's the situation. What do you think? Did you guys go to any of the protests yesterday?
So I think this is unfortunate, right? I didn't go to any protests yesterday, but I think this is really unfortunate because there were so many peaceful protests for workers' rights, and this is such, we're in such a climate right now where workers' rights are so important. When you're talking about workers' rights in general and healthcare, immigration, discrimination, there's so many people that are really upset and who are going to be hurt by some of the policies that are being, you know, proposed and being put in place by the current administration. And so this is a really important protest to have. And it's unfortunate that this one sort of, unfortunately, you know, violent like subsect is sort of painting and tainting, you know, I guess the broader group's message about this.
Mm-hmm. It's not that group though. I mean, this article and many other articles I've read kept saying these black clad protesters were the ones that were causing violent problems, breaking things. This happens at almost every rally. It's people that wear all black, show up, cause a lot of destruction and problems, and then those people whose cause they is largely peaceful get blamed for it.
Right.
Right. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to start with like the lighthearted joke aspect of it, because
you can't do it now.
Exactly. So yeah, that's true. And you see, it seems like the ones who are starting the problems are the ones who aren't anywhere near affiliated with the the movement, but are just saying to themselves, oh, there's going to be a march that gives me cover and an opportunity to cause some havoc. And they're literally, you know, anarchist groups. That said, in addition, there were arrests. There are 3 arrests in Seattle, 4 or more in Oakland, but by and large, very peaceful protests. Here are some feel-goodery photos of San Francisco, many thousands. Las Vegas, we are together, we are greater, build bridges, not walls. And then in Seattle, I mean, it was inspiring to see so many people take to the streets and do good together to try to spread a message that this is, especially in a climate where it's like, how does labor fall down? Who's looking out for them in the cross section of a big populist movement in America that purports to be for, skilled and non-skilled jobs and manufacturing, et cetera. And then the idea that like a lot of workers are immigrants.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, here's the thing is like we do have sort of like this disappearing middle class and like the working class is being hit really hard. And you're always going to see, like Kim said, you're going to see these like subsects of groups who have this like great cause, whether it be, protest for May Day or, feminists or Black Lives Matter. There's going to be tiny little groups, whether they be anarchists or subsects of that group that sort of, I guess, allow other people to look at that movement as a whole and sort of attribute those smaller actions to the movement. And so, you know, I want people to see I like that you show like the positive images of the May Day protests, because that is really, really important.
It's just going to keep happening though, because this is what unfortunately we reward violence and maybe robbing of with attention. We do it again and again and again, and they're just not going to stop doing this, because this gets way more attention than, you know, setting up a co-op or feeding the poor or doing something good. This is what we're always going to look at, the worst possible thing, and get fingers pointing.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, you Google May Day and this is all you see. You see this story and other stories of violence. You don't necessarily see like, oh, like all these people got together because they think like healthcare is really important. That's not as sensationalized the same way as violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're here to tell everyone that just because some people started a problem, there can't be solutions. And a lot of people were there marching just for that, for solutions. So let's move on. Donald Trump has appointed an anti-contraceptive appointee, an activist to oversee family planning programs. So that's an uplifting title. Teresa Manning is from the National Right to Life Committee, also formerly of the Family Research Council. And she has been appointed to be the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Population Affairs for the Department of Health and Human Services. Which oversees the Title X program, which gives out contraception, pap smears to 4 million low-income people, and 2 million of whom are uninsured. And so now we're going to go to that quote, a quote of what she said in the past. Of course, contraception doesn't work. Its efficacy is very low. The prospect that contraception would always prevent conception of a child is preposterous. She was talking about like over the course of someone's entire life, but this is the kind of message that she sends out. Other highlights from her illustrious career of talking about abortion are things like calling abortion a legalized crime. In addition, she thinks the morning after pill is the destruction of a human life already conceived. We'll talk about that and how that's not exactly true. The link between abortion and breast cancer, she is called undisputed.
Lee, not there.
Sorry.
And then also she had, I listened to this insanely long, illuminating interview that she did with NPR back in 2003, where one of her solutions to the changing, secularizing culture in America is to go to Hollywood and write pro-life scripts. That's me paraphrasing what she said, but that's part of her, her message. So what do you guys think seeing all this?
It's painful. It is extremely painful. Look, here's the thing is I am a diehard pro-choice activist, right? And I think that's really, really important. But with that said, I do understand where pro-life people come from, right? And we're already seeing that sort of pattern for people who are pro-life, who are being put into these sort of family planning and health positions when you're talking about, you know, Tom Price and Yost and Talenta, who are saying things like contraception doesn't reduce abortions, which makes no sense whatsoever. But this woman is not only anti-abortion, she's anti-contraception. Which is like mind-boggling.
Right. Her statement about contraception was saying that, she's saying that if you tell people to, from a very early age, use contraception, it is proven that condoms are only like 99% effective.
That is her logic.
Her logic is, and over the course
of- So don't do it at all.
That's it. And that's exactly the heart of what's wrong with her, is she just says these strange little pockets of what she thinks to be logic, but doesn't offer a solution.
Those aren't strange pockets of logic. Those are patently untrue. We have to prioritize facts above everything. Mm. And that's hard because we've tribalism of whatever ideology, but we have to put facts first. And what she's saying here are patently untrue. This is one of the lowest times of unintended pregnancies, of teen pregnancies ever. And that is largely due to the prevalence of contraceptives available now. This is...
On your point, Kim, about you know, prioritizing facts is like, yes, we have contraceptives that are more prevalent, but we also like are starting to increase more comprehensive sex education, which is really, really important, which provides teens and young adults with the facts about sex, which has been proven to reduce teen pregnancy, to reduce STIs and things like that. So to then continue to perpetuate notions and have these like headlines where you're talking about anti-contraceptive and saying that maybe that doesn't, you know, that leads to more abortions or whatever it may be, is terrifying. And it is literally setting us deeper and deeper into this sort of post-truth apocalypse that we're currently in.
Contraceptives do work. abstinence-only education does not work. You can't tell people don't have sex because I read a book I like that said don't do it. It doesn't work that way.
Well, it also, it doesn't work at all. Like, it doesn't delay the initiation of sex, regardless of whether it's abstinence only or comprehensive sexual education. It doesn't delay sex initiation, so it actually doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it does is encourage people to do it on their own without any knowledge of what the hell they're in for when they do it. And again, to your point, the contraception, a lot of this contraception that has been handed out and the reproductive health services that have been provided by Title X, which is the exact program that this woman is now overseeing. Mm. Here are facts about Title X. It has teen pregnancies are at an all-time low. Unintended pregnancies, to Kim's point, 30-year low. Prevented by Title X, according to the Guttmacher Institute, 904,000 unintended pregnancies, 493,000 unplanned births, and I hate to break it to you, pro-lifer, but 326,000 abortions have been prevented because the people didn't get pregnant in the first place. Mm-hmm. Listening to her logic is so terrifying. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, like, even the Pope is sort of like being more lenient on contraceptives. And if you're still like, nah, don't do it, I feel like
even from
the
financial aspect,
yeah,
this is the right choice to make. Like, this was a point made in the original Freakonomics, which was when birth control became more available, it stopped unintended pregnancies from happening.
Yeah, that's
Roe v. Wade. After Roe v. Wade, they saw a huge increase in like the economy and decrease in poverty and things like that.
If this
in
is
the 70s.
Available,
yeah, yeah.
And we have to respect these facts. This is Donald Trump thinks it's cute or hilarious to put people who are vehemently opposed to the very committees that they're overseeing. Like, we have anti-climate change people in front of places that wouldn't decide policy regarding that. It's not funny or hilarious or showing that you're the boss or whatever. This is causing long-term damage. I mean, I supported Bernie Sanders 100%, but I voted for Hillary Clinton because she had one great thing going for her. She wasn't Donald Trump. When people say things like, oh, it would have been exactly as bad if Hillary Clinton were president, no, it wouldn't. Look at this. People's health is going to suffer. And these are things you cannot reverse the adverse factors of.
Yeah, this is going to affect an entire generation. It's going to disproportionately affect low-income people who can't afford, contraception or the ability to like learn about these things and any sort of component without sort of like the protection from healthcare, Title X, and programs like that, Planned Parenthood, whatever it may be. It's going to disproportionately affect these people, and that's why he does it, because he doesn't care. He doesn't care about people who are struggling. He doesn't care about people who are not in the top like 0.001%.
Right, and it almost could be described as just a petty assault on people on the other side who have talked trash to him in the past. Just so she's going to be overseeing the dispersal of funds through Title X. And just so you know, she's so against abortion. Here is the total number of dollars spent funding abortion. Zero. It's illegal. And if you're trying to stick it to Planned Parenthood and remove funding for them, they haven't spent a single dollar on abortions. This is what the vice president of Planned Parenthood, Dawn Laglin said. She said, this is the fox guarding the hen house, and women with low incomes will pay the price. It is a cruel irony to appoint an opponent of birth control to oversee the nation's only federal program dedicated to family planning.
Opponent of birth control, it just like pains me.
It's frustrating.
Like I said, like pro-life, like I understand why people are pro-life. I really do. I can empathize with that. But if you're anti-birth control, it logically does not make sense in this day and age.
Yeah.
And what you are doing is you are affecting the lives of so many women who will have their lives
changed forever.
Yeah. And that puts so many women into positions of poverty, decrease in education and things like that, which will affect, if you're so concerned about the economy, which will affect GDP, crime rates, so many other components that I just don't think they take into consideration when they're looking at these sorts of removal of programs.
Pettiness.
And from her side, it's a lack of observance of what the facts are on the ground, which is like, contraception is a pragmatic solution to a very real problem. If you're arguing against contraception, you are ignoring the pragmatism. And there is no moral grounds to do that either. Your moral grounds, now that you're talking about abstinence, the only time that the rubber meets the road on your moral argument is about your belief on abortion.
Right.
This isn't an abortion issue. And when she points out things about the morning after pill, it's been widely said by experts that the morning after pill is a contraceptive. I mean, what she's talking about when she says that it is the destruction of a fertilized...
It's not.
Is it? Well, she's talking about the way you normally use Plan B is you take it and it will not stop a pregnancy that has already started. One of the things it does is if an egg has been fertilized, it prevents it from sometimes attaching to the uterine wall and then developing. So just like an unfertilized embryo, it will eventually pass out of the woman. So that's what she's talking about, the small span of a few days of multiplying cells. But then we're focused so much on that tiny thing that we're eliminating the solution that everyone has come to, which is just use contraception, use protection, and don't fight against it completely. Educate people that it's only effective 98% of the time, and to plan accordingly, and to keep abortion safe and legal. That's That's it. And she talks, she argues tooth and nail to the to every single point. She says abortions aren't safe. But guess what? Your solutions will make abortion even less safe than you purport them to be already. It's nuts. She goes on for so long about secularism and how, like, you know, now we've contributed to this godless society and godfulness is what we need in order to maintain some kind of moral hold on
what's up and down,
essentially. It is really, I suggest if you want to just grind your teeth.
Well, I mean, that's what our founding father says, inextricable church and state, right?
Yeah, but she's it's so bad. And she's a legal expert. All right, let's move on. This is making me sad. All right, well, this will make me sad too. Daddy of Five, you ever heard of him? Well, he runs a YouTube channel along with his wife. His name is Mike Martin and her name is Heather, which is a prank YouTube channel. And who do they pull pranks on? Their kids. They have five children and they have pulled pranks on them and raised their following to 800,000 subscribers of people who ostensibly just want to watch kids suffer. And they cling to the idea that it was all pranks until a recent prank went too far. We'll show you that later. YouTube suspended a lot of their videos, took them down. They apologized. But now the daddy of five has lost custody of two of the kids. In response to losing custody, which went to the two kids' birth mother, this is the video they released apologizing and updating folks on the situation they face now.
This has been the absolute worst week of our life, and we realize that we have made some terrible parenting decisions, and we just want to make things right.
I do agree that we put things on the internet that should not be there. We did things that we should not do.
They kind of feel like some of it's their fault, and it's not their fault. It's not. It's we're the parents, and we should have made better decisions. We are now in family counseling because we need it.
Yeah, you do. I found they're the original video that went around that eventually went too far after a lot of their videos went too far. Here is the clip. It's what they're talking about that later they kind of tried to excuse as comedy. Take a look at the original video that started it all.
What the hell is that?
What is this?
Cody!
Tell me!
I didn't do that!
You tell me what you did!
I swear to God, I didn't do that!
Cody!
Call over your carpet!
I didn't do that! I don't have anything to call over
you! Why did you do that?
You ruined the carpet!
Get out of here! Mind your business!
I didn't do that! Mom and Dad, I didn't do that!
Oh my God! Oh my God!
You know how much that...
We got you both.
They were
you were innocent bystander.
Yeah. You just got owned. It's just a prank, bruh.
Look at that kid's face.
So painful to watch. I almost cried the first time I watched that through.
That one?
Yeah, that one. I mean, I watched a few of their videos or a compilation of some of the videos and some of the ways that they like threatened this kid, the youngest, Cody. And I was like tearing up. It was so beyond painful to watch the way that they're talking to this kid and the way that they treat their kids. And so I'm glad that they lost custody because they don't deserve to be parents.
Yeah, and then now there's a tweet going around of a photo of the two kids who were taken to their biological mother's house. Mm-hmm. And they look happy and they're smiling. But what a traumatic thing to put your kids through.
This is such a textbook emotional abuse. I mean, this is, not all abuse is hitting your child. However, that kid, if you looked at some of the videos, it looked like his dad slammed his head into a shelf. Mm-hmm. It looked like he was egging on the other kids into like punching and hitting him. This is messed up. I think this really became popular after Philip DeFranco pointed it out. Mm-hmm. And good on him for doing that, because this has to stop. And the justification of, oh, it's just a prank, brah, fuck off. This is not, that's not how you treat children. And also, that's not how you justify god-awful behavior. It's just saying, it's a prank, brah. It's so funny. We're all laughing so hard. Can't you see?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's ignorant. It's so damaging to these kids, and it will have lasting damage to them.
Yeah, I think the real rub here is that it is going to have lasting, damage on this kid. And the parents are doing so to have some sort of like YouTube success. So there's this thing that's called adverse childhood experiences, which is basically anything from like dealing with like your parents getting separated, your parents getting divorced, or anything like that, to sort of this emotional abuse, witnessing any sort of substance abuse, physical abuse, whatever it may be. And it does have lasting effects. It has lasting effects on the child's health. It can manifest in things like disability and disease, social and emotional problems, and even early death. So they're trying to do a prank on their kid. This kid is clearly traumatized in this situation. They did a follow-up video where they were responding to like the haters. Which they call. Yeah, I'm sorry if haters means anybody who's against like child abuse. Then really call me a hater every freaking day of the week. Mm-hmm. But like,
video got taken. So what happened was they had all their videos up. Mm-hmm. DeFranco did his video.
Uh-huh.
They all got taken down. They put up the video you're talking about.
Right.
Which you're absolutely right. Totally tone deaf. And what they say is like, well, man, I don't understand for all the haters out there. I label it comedy. It's a prank. I don't know why that's making everybody mad. You obviously don't. If you don't want me to do comedy, that's not comedy, you asshole. You're just being an asshole, asshole.
And they have the kids in the video, and the kids say something to the effect of like, well, at least you don't beat us like other parents.
What do you think other parents do?
It's, like, first of all, like, that should not be your bar.
Yeah, you just put for parenting. Psychosocial trauma.
And also, like, the fact that they think that other parents means that they have such a skewed vision of what parenting looks like. And they're saying, they said, like, you know, they don't understand that it's a prank. Like, I'm not traumatized, even though I don't know what that word means. Like, of course you're not going to rat out your parents. Like, these kids have, like, Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
And it's just...
If you're a victim of abuse, you're not going to rat out your parents on your parents' video right in front of them. You're probably scared to death.
Just, it is very clear that these parents have prioritized their subscriber totals over everything else. They're like, the kids love the YouTube. They think the YouTube's awesome. It's like one thing they look forward to the most. And now this kid is going to feel so guilty. He probably thinks that his reaction... is ruined, what triggered this
and ruined like the livelihood for his parents. Yeah, that is just so devastating. And they don't. I like for especially the kids. He says in one clip, he's like, you know, I have to vlog my life. And so he has like a prank channel, whatever. But he's telling his kids that it's a vlog. He's just like recording his life. I'm sorry. Like even if you are, it's not a prank channel and you're just vlogging your life. If you responded to your kids to getting marker on the carpet, like children, little children, by saying what the F and screaming at them in that way, like you should not be a parent. Even if you're vlogging your life, even if it's not a prank, whatever it may be, like that is not okay.
Something else that kills me is that 800,000 people subscribe to this channel.
It's pure now, actually.
Yeah. Well, because those videos aren't up.
The videos are gone.
But like, if those videos were up, wouldn't it still? And then I'm glad that there's nothing else to look for. Because I did. I clicked through and I was like, what other videos are the old ones still up?
Is Mommy of Five still up?
I don't know. I just looked at Daddy of Five.
She has one too.
Heather Martin. I hope not. I assume it's been taken down. Please go online or, you know, somewhere else. Open a new tab and then tell us if it's... it's down or not. Good God. I think we should take a break right now.
Yeah.
I feel it's some catharsis, and I'm glad that justice has been done. In the meantime, tweet us at hashtag TYT Live. We're going to take a break and come right back. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, including the writer's strike and a few other stories, so stick around. Welcome back from the break, everyone. I hope you had a nice, restful time. Watching all those teasers. That sport one looks good, yeah?
Yeah.
Subscribe to TYT Sports.
You really should. I was just saying that I think Jason Rubin looking great these days.
My girlfriend says the same thing.
I know.
She's like, you wouldn't know it.
He's secret sexy. That's what I said. I'll say it. I'll say it on camera. He's secret sexy.
He does the lean. He does the... Tell you what.
Plus, he's super smart. I just had him on Think Tank last week, and he talks a lot about sports. And I don't really watch too much sports that often. Mm-hmm. But he's incredibly like intelligent and well spoken, and just very
woke sports fans are nerds because stats. It's all about memorizing stats. Mm. It's the nerdiest thing you can do. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sorry, we just had a love fest for Jason
Rubin. Fantasy sports
relievers. Okay, so we have a lot of tweets from folks out there. An American in Canada says, Teresa Manning will be providing aspirin for women to place between their legs as the only approved birth control. Good reference. Sabrina Hartman, OMG, the morning after pill will not terminate an already existing pregnancy. When will they do actual research? Mm. Yes. Sarah says, I'm here to show Teresa Manning that you can go your whole life using contraception and never have a child. There you go.
I think all three of us are.
Yeah, right? No, we don't. Just kidding.
What?
No, we've just been together so long we don't have sex anymore. Good morning. Not true. Okay, so Cheese Plate says, is Brett Ehrlich wearing the same outfit 2 days in a row after advocating multi-day underwear wearing?
Did you wear this yesterday?
I wore the sweater and the hat yesterday because I'm in a mop situation. It's just kind of all over the place.
You could shower.
I did shower. They're different pants.
Are you wearing the same underwear?
Different underwear.
Oh. But yesterday on the post game, they were trying to tell me that you can wear underwear multiple days in a row.
All your clothes are different every day, except maybe a jacket.
What about jeans?
I don't wear pants.
Oh, but all right. As a dispassionate observer of jean wearers, can you wear jeans 2 days in a row?
I wear them 0 days in a row.
There you go. All right, Gabby Merida, our very favorite, says,
love her.
Yesterday we heard about asshole guys stealthing on girls during sex. Today it's asshole politicians stealthing on citizens.
What a great tie. I love that, Gabby.
Taria Peterside says, and I like that name, Peterside. You'd think these clowns would have learned by now from Bristol Palin that abstinence-only education is a pile of bullshit.
Drop the mic.
So on point today.
I know.
Every single one of these.
Oh, that's a good burn.
With the exception of my underwear tweet. Right on point. But still, holding our feet to the fire. Journalists for the journalists. And I did do journalism today, so I can call myself that for 24 hours. Sarah Rawlings said, those POS parents should lose custody of all their kids and should be behind bars. Cry us a fucking river, you monsters.
I heard a rumor that the father of the other three kids is trying to get custody.
Really?
Yeah. So God. All those kids have one step parent in their household.
How do they have custody of these kids? Where, maybe I guess it might be shared, and on the days when daddy and stepmom have it, then they're traumatized.
But that's a rumor. Don't take that as fact.
What we did do research about during the break is that Mom of Five has 6 videos on her channel and 97,000 subscribers. Mm. Good God. All right, let's move on to racism. Huh? All right. Baltimore Orioles All-Star Adam Jones received racist taunts at Fenway Park during a game. He said this about the situation. He said, a disrespectful fan threw a bag of peanuts at me. I was called the N-word a handful of times tonight. Thanks. Pretty awesome. His reaction to the whole thing, he said, it is what it is, right? I just go out and play baseball. It's unfortunate that people need to resort to these type of epithets to degrade another human being. I'm trying to make a living for myself and for my family. What do you guys think about this?
This is just something that weak and insecure people just do. If you have no ammunition against someone, you just make some, you're worse than me because of your race. It has no basis. It's just something that shows completely how ignorant, how weak, how pathetic you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're told it's okay. They're told in the highest, you know, from the highest seat in the entire country that it's okay.
We have a culture. Felt
older. We have a culture where it's okay to hate on minorities, where black lives don't matter, where we can just make all of these sorts of policies that really affect minorities, and we can talk poorly about them, and that's okay because we're making America great again.
This is Adam Jones' solution to this situation. He says, well, what they need to do is that instead of kicking them out of the stadium, which they did to the person who threw the peanuts, in addition to a handful of others, is according to this is graphic 14, instead of kicking them out of the stadium, they need to fine them 10 grand, 20 grand, 30 grand, something that really hurts somebody, make them pay in full, and if they don't, take it out of their check.
You know what? At first I was like, you know, I don't know if fines are the way. Like, I think that there are different ways to sort of like condemn people or educate people, which I think is the number one priority here. But then he has a quote, and I don't know if you have this quote later, but he was saying, what if that peanut bag hit me in the eye and I couldn't play baseball anymore? And these baseball players make the most, you know, in all professional sports. And so then it like took me a second. I'm like, yeah, this person could have injured him and could have affected his career. So there should be, I think, more of a punishment for throwing things on a baseball field, especially when it's like racially motivated. I mean, that's like disturbing.
If they hit him, the Red Sox would have signed him. You know, if he hit him with the peanut bag, the Red Sox would have been like, you want to come play for us? But no. And the question is, if
you're making a joke for two like
Ken
non-sports
and I are just
people.
Like ignoring you.
Sorry.
Like we're just like, all right.
My cousin pitched for the Red Sox. Yeah, name dropper. But yeah, no. When I heard this story, and this is a weird thing to say, but I was like, it's Boston. Sounds about right. Like in Boston,
your voice changed.
Boston, you have the fighter. What's the fighter? You have a bunch of shows and movies about how awesome Boston is. But Boston, ask anyone from there, kind of racist. Boston, racist you can root for. That's what Boston is. All of sports is kind of racist.
Well, let's try
all of sports is kind of not racist, but sports is the one situation where you can hate someone based on where they were born. Fuck you, Philadelphia, you dumb assholes.
Yeah, but that's
you're
not racism.
It's not racism, but built into the culture is like, screw you because of literally what team you're on. And a lot
of
times.
That's conflating two huge issues. And I know,
right.
I mean.
Yeah, no, for sure. But Boston, you're going to hear more racist stuff
in
the
audience.
I kind of
get it.
But that's not an excuse, Brett.
No,
but,
not at all. I just want to
make sure we're all on the same page.
To the roots of tribalism, I guess, at a very primitive point.
Yeah, don't go too scientific on it. It's one of those things that's like, here's what I'm trying to say is in the mind of a fan of the other team, you're just like, what can I do psychologically to this person to make them so off their game that they don't catch the ball? And for a lot of people, it's like, you're a terrible athlete, or like, you're stupid, or like, your team's the worst. And in this situation, these idiots on the Green Monster or wherever they were yelling at him couldn't think of anything. Yeah. So they just said that thing that they say, maybe just in their house, and folks heard them, and they just said, and it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's Boston.
100% it's bad. I think the bigger issue here, regardless of whether it's at a sports game or anything, if somebody is looking for an insult, if their mind, because they can't think of anything else, goes to a racial slur, we have a bigger problem in our country.
Yeah, it's a hate crime if he hit him, right? Did I say that already?
I think you're right, yeah.
If it hit him, it's totally a hate crime. I think it's great. I think it's great that today, since baseball, they play multiple games in a row, you know, 3 days in a row, they'll play at the same stadium. It's a little series. And today, Fenway stood up for him. The non-racist people in Fenway, and then all the people who were so drunk at the park that someone next to them stood up and they were like, what I gotta do now? They stood up and gave a standing ovation to Adam Jones, so that's nice. But what was shocking to me is finding out that it was San Francisco fans threw a banana at him at a different game in 2013. That surprises
people me. People are racist all over the country. It's unfortunate, and we need to change it.
Yeah. So that's that. All right, let's move on. I'm glad there was a happy ending to this one. Boston got strong together. They stood up for him. They did a standing ovation for him because they apologized. That's not good?
It's okay.
What do you mean?
I mean,
you'd
it's just
rather
like,
he wasn't
oh,
called.
We're not racist. We're good. We're safe.
No, his home was
we
it?
We just did a story about not looping all the protesters who were good in with the folks covering their face. I'm trying to just
you
get
just
warm
gave
your
me
heart.
The okay, let's move on.
But like I'm saying, what happened?
You just gave me Boston, real racist.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying like it all came together where the non-racist people, and you know, they were able to salvage it, and the rest of baseball was able to come together. If something bad happens at one baseball game, you can make up for it because there's only 600 more in the season. All right, Let's move on to our next story, which is also about racism. Happy Tuesday. Racist messages were found on bananas around a all-black sorority in, let me start that again. Racist messages were left for members of a traditionally black sorority at American University. They found bananas hanging from nooses. Here's a photo of one from King Pablo 26. And it said AKA. And this is just stupid behavior. It was, folks were asking what happened? Why did this happen this day? It coincided with the first day of the Student Government Association president, Taylor Dumpson, the first African-American woman to be the student body president over at American University. There was a statement made by the school's president, Neil Kerwin, saying the following, know that American University remains committed to principles of diversity, inclusion, common courtesy, and human dignity, and acts of bigotry only strengthen our resolve. They also tweeted out this, this saying, were you in the area of the LA Quad, MGC, or McKinley on Monday around 4 a.m.? You may have seen a hate crime the hate crime suspect, DM or call 202-885-2999. So if you are on the campus of AU and you saw this, that is a number that you can call.
Yeah, so they've actually had like a few sort of issues in the past. They had one last September where I guess some woman had a banana thrown at her. People wrote something on a rotten banana, and then other black women faced like somebody writing like penises all over her whiteboard or something like this. And so this woman, Taylor Dumpson, who, congratulations, that is a huge accomplishment for you. Unfortunate that this is the first black woman Student Government Association, but great for breaking that barrier there. So she wrote an op-ed about how the university needs to be more transparent and work better to sort of like remedy these acts of discrimination towards black women. And like, I think she was targeted because of that, because she wrote that op-ed asking to be treated better and asking for the university to really recognize the crazy stuff that these people are going through on campus.
She's asked for so little.
And yes, right. So true.
Such a not terrible, a like treat me like a person. How much is that to ask
yeah.
for?
Yeah.
It's nothing. It should not be even a question.
But again, that like begs the question, like I understand being frustrated by the government, right? I understand being frustrated and being upset or wanting to piss somebody off. But where are you in your mind where your mind goes to hanging a banana from a noose? Like when I first said banana, I was like, oh, that's an odd choice. And it took me a while to get to understand why it was a banana. Like I had to look it up. I'm not even kidding you. And because my mind is so disparate from even connecting those two,
it's like,
and the racial connotations of that, like that is absurd to me. And that is so far from reality and so far from where any like normal, sane, tolerant person's head goes to.
Yeah, I think that's why I wasn't shocked by the difference between you and me is I wasn't shocked by the Boston story about the Baltimore athlete, and this I wasn't shocked. And that's what's so sad. It's like just jerks who, you know, under a cover of perceived anonymity will do crap like this.
It's just trying to sow this environment of fear and, you know, put your head down and go back to your place. And it's disgusting.
Yeah.
But we are like allowing it, right? There's this culture where we can allow these sort of like upticks in hate crimes. And we've seen so many just this year. And to allow it on our university's campuses and see this is just terrifying for the future generations that are going to be entering society and entering the real world.
Right. And that person who threw the banana at the student in her room was expelled, and they thought they got rid of the problem, but obviously they didn't. And so hopefully this school comes together and there's some kind of camera. That's what I was always afraid of. That's why I didn't do anything stupid in college. I just was afraid someone was watching at all times, and they should be. Should be on the lookout for ne'er-do-wells. All right, one last story for you all. The writer's strike has been averted. So the Hollywood writer's strike, it has been 10 years since there was one. They finally came to an agreement, and the agreement over, you know, never mind, let me start again. We're almost done. I'm running out of blood sugar. All right. A writer strike was averted between the Writers Guild of America and the American Motion Picture and Television Producers Association. And this is the statement released by the Writers Guild West saying, did we get everything we wanted? No, everything we deserved? Certainly not. But because we had the near unanimous backing of you and our fellow writers, we were able to achieve a deal that will net this guild's members $130 million more over the life of the contract. Now, you might be asking yourself, why do I care about this? What is at issue here? Well, the industry has changed over the years and the pay structure has not. You're watching us on the internet and a lot of stuff that you watch isn't over television. A lot of it's over the internet. That's one of the issues that these people are facing. You'll notice that the length of a season is much shorter than it used to be. And while that is awesome and has led to some really great television, the writers felt like they were getting left behind. Here are some of the main issues that were at stake: healthcare, staffing exclusivity, residuals, family leave. Healthcare and family leave linked together. Healthcare was in the red for years. And then also streaming. Elizabeth Warren stepped in and made a statement saying that she stands with the Writers Guild of America for fair pay and decent healthcare because it's the right thing to do and because Bruce and I can't wait for the next season of Ballers to start. Thanks, Liz.
Yeah, so I mean, this is great, right? And the Writers Guild Association actually attributes a lot of the success that they had in reaching this deal with social media, right? And so we can laugh at this thing from Elizabeth Warren, but like it's the right thing to do, right? To make sure that they have healthcare and more stability because the entertainment industry is so unstable. But also, like, yeah, people do care about the TV that they're watching and they're waiting for the next season. And in 2007, when there was that writer's strike and they took 100 days off, the California economy took a huge, huge hit. So it actually is really, really important that they reach a deal and that we support them in this.
They actually didn't ask for anything that unreasonable.
Right.
And as unstable as television is, it's still highly profitable. There's a lot of money there that perhaps wasn't going to the right place. Back in 2008, 2009, during the writer's strike, we just did this video on Nerd Alert where a lot of movies were terrible
because of
the writer's strike.
Yeah.
And when we have like oral histories of actors talk, like we had Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds talking about X-Men Origins Wolverine. Awful movie. Mm-hmm. The script would say things like Deadpool walks in and says something funny. And then he'd be like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Because they're nailed into that because of the terms.
Quantum of Solace. Star Trek
was good though.
Star Trek was good, but it was operating on such a restriction.
But notice the cuts that they did.
The writers were also producers, true to their union, so they couldn't really do anything writery.
Yeah.
So you saw like J.J. Abrams, Kurtzman, and Orsi, and all the people who write on that, who wrote that movie, just like standing off to the side. And if they would have to change a line, looking to Kurtzman or whoever the writers were, and they just couldn't do anything. Like they would see a bad decision get made and they would just stand there like this, just like
this was
trying
also,
not to violate anything.
Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah.
Quantum of Solace,
yeah.
Everyone's least
what
favorite
else?
Bond movie.
Yeah, I mean, besides putting out bad movies, it's important that these studios sort of like keep up with the times, you know, and deal with like things like the uptick in like reality television,
right.
Digital media, streaming platforms, so that they can stay ahead of the curve and make sure that they're treating their workers right.
Yeah, they said they have gains in minimum across the board. This is the email that came out to the members of the union saying short seasons in television. 2.4 weeks for each episodic fee. You know, they'd been taking longer to produce episodes and the writers weren't getting paid. So it's nice to see everything evolve. Out of the $150 million they asked for, they got $130 million in increases.
Close. We do need to respect creative industry more and creative ability. I think it gets underwritten a lot, be it like designers, artists, just all forms of creativity just gets thrown out and disrespected. And it is important, it does matter, and it does support a massive industry.
All right, we're gonna talk about maybe our favorite TV shows in the post game. You stick around, thank you for watching The Young Turks, and we will see you next time. Bye.